All right, you're live in the arms of Glenn
and John,
and we are back from a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Oh my God, holiday. Dude, my kids had Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday off from school.
I love Thanksgiving, man. It's such a great holiday.
It is. It really is. So much fun. Way too much food. I drank a ton of liquor over the course of this weekend.
Good for you.
Yeah, it's great. It's good for the soul.
I had a great Thanksgiving. Got to spend a great time with my kids. Drew cooked the entire meal.
Nice.
I mean, you know, she had help, but she was, like, in charge of everything.
She's like, get out of my kitchen unless I tell you what to do.
She is very much like that anyway. So yeah. She did a phenomenal job, and we had one of our guys, Brandon, over. He didn't have any family in town, so we invited him over and ate big Thanksgiving dinner outside and just really enjoyed the meal and the time with our families and a little opportunity to give thanks. And it was good stuff. Man. Had a nice big fire in the fire pit. And it was great, man. It was a good time. Still eating ham and turkey, trying to find new inventive ways to eat ham and turkey. Last night I broke down and just ate straight ham and turkey for a late night snack.
So ham salad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I made a good ham salad recipe.
I made ham and turkey, like McMuffin type things yesterday morning for breakfast. Added in some seasoning on some buttered sourdough muffins, cooked them in butter with some cheese on them.
Yeah.
And then just piled that onto a little sourdough and smashed it in. Really good.
Yeah, I did the same thing for 2 days. We had so Thanksgiving, it was just me, the wife, and the kids. So we get like a little 2 pound ham, you know, and we cook that and stuffing and everything. The next, like Friday, Saturday, and I think Sunday morning, I would make my egg and throw a piece of ham in there. Mm-hmm. I mean, nice little ham and cheese McMuffin type deal with some English muffins. So good. And then my wife ate all of the stuffing and mashed potatoes. I didn't even get any of the leftovers.
We did boxed stuffing this year just because. Don't do that.
Stovetop. If you're going to do the box stuffing, Stovetop's the only way to go. You can't buy the Pepperidge Farm or the
I don't know what brand we ended up getting.
Stovetop. If you don't get Stovetop,
you're
dead wrong.
It was decent. Like, it was okay. I ate it.
Yeah.
But
it's not the same.
Well, here's the thing. You can always tell how good something really was by how long the leftovers stay in the fridge.
Boom.
Right? So, like, the turkey, the ham, the green beans, the potatoes, all slowly disappearing.
Yep. The stuffing's still there.
Is still in the container.
Well, the problem with stuffing...
Put a bunch of ketchup on it or something.
The problem with stuffing is you can't eat stuffing without gravy, right? And gravy doesn't keep well.
It doesn't.
So...
Oh, my God. I have to tell you a story about something that doesn't keep well. So, yesterday...
Dead bodies in closets.
Yeah, we knew that. But
okay.
But yesterday, I was getting my kids some cereal, and we had two things of milk, all right? And one of them was almost out, and it was like... 28th of November, all right? And then the other one was like 4th or 5th or something like that of December.
Yeah.
And it was mostly full. So I just grabbed that one because I had more milk in it and then used it. And then I was like, oh, I'll just, there's a little, just like a couple swigs left of the other stuff. And I'm like, I'll just jam this real quick. I don't mind milk. Like, I don't just sit around drinking milk. Dude, it made it past my lips. And when it hit the back chunks of my throat, my mouth rejected it. My body rejected
it. Like, nope, this is
bad
stuff.
And some of it made it into my throat, which forced me to swallow it. But then I immediately spit the rest into the sink. And I got to say, I've managed to live my whole life without accidentally drinking sour milk. And yesterday was the first time.
Boom.
That was the nastiest. The nastiest thing.
Did you not
thing.
Smell it as soon as you cracked
it? Well, it was like... It was. I was talking, blah, 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 opened the thing, and just went bam. And it was like, it was all kind of happened as a fluid. Because, you know, it wasn't like open, like give it a little sniff, you know. Like,
always.
I would have smelled it.
Always.
I would have smelled it, right? But it was just like, I'm talking to the kids, they're eating breakfast. Oh, I'm kind of distracted. Just opened it and slammed it. Oh, dude, I spit it out in the sink. I pour it out in the sink. I'm like rinsing my mouth out. I'm gargling with water. I'm spitting that in the sink. I ate a bunch of like Fig Newtons. I'm just anything I can to get. I just opened the cabinet and grabbed the first food that I saw and started eating it. I'm like, oh my God, it was terrible.
That's hilarious, by the way.
It was terrible.
It's like the best story I've ever heard.
Oh yeah.
It was fantastic. It's good stuff.
It is. All right. I had a cool human experience this morning. So I went to the doc's office and I was sitting at the office and someone popped open the door in a car next to me and hit my truck. Oh. Now, it was actually a kid. A guy had his kid. They're going to the same doc office.
Yeah, yeah.
And the little kid, like probably 4 or 5 years old.
I can't tell you how many cars my kids have hit in parking.
And just slams the door into my truck, right? So I'm sitting in the truck when this happened. So I kind of look in the mirror and the guy's like, shit. Like I can see he's like, oh, man. And he doesn't get on his kid. He's not a bad dad, but he was like, hey, sweetie, you know, we need to be careful. And he kind of looks at my truck and he kind of rubs the paint. And my truck's so blacked out, it's hard to tell if I'm sitting in there, you know?
Yeah.
And so I'm just watching it all through the mirror. I was on a phone call. So he walks in. I finished my phone call. I was going to say something to it if he was still in the waiting room. But by the time I got in there, he was already in an office. So I'm like, no big deal. I come back out, and on the back of obviously his daughter's little Santa drawing, I find this note. I accidentally hit your truck when my daughter opened the rear door. Now, let me talk about that statement.
Not my kid.
But accidentally hit your truck when my daughter opened the rear door. Like, this guy's taking full responsibility for what happened, regardless of the fact that it was his kid.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like I left a little paint on your door. My phone gives me his phone number. If you'd like insurance info, I'm sorry. And then he signs it. So I'm like, dude, I call the dude, right? Yeah. And I'm like, hey, man, I just got your note on my truck. And he's like, dude, I'm so sorry. And I go, hey, before you roll into that, let me just say this. Okay. First of all, don't even worry about it. I looked.
It's like, did you not see the smudge.
Did you see the rest of the truck? All right. It's a smudge. Not like my truck's not like a piece of shit or anything, but it's dirty, it gets used, it's got a couple dings and scratches and stuff, and I'm like, hey man, honestly, it is such a tiny little smidgen of paint, all right? I go, I like scrape most of it off of my fingernail. I go, second of all, damn human of you, all right, to freaking leave a note. He's like, man, I wanted to leave a note before I went in, but I was kind of late, and I'm like, dude, don't even worry about it. He's like, but I knew as soon as I came back out, I had to leave a note, and I was just hoping your truck was still going to be there, and, you know, I apologize for hitting your truck, and I go, hey man, I got kids. I totally understand. I'll be lying if I said my kids never kicked open a door and freaking nailed someone's car and that I've had to deal with what you're dealing with right now.
Yeah.
All right. I'm like, dude, my kid kicked open a door one time and hit a person. All right. So like, can I mean, like,
yes,
don't worry about it. I've been there, man. He's like, dude, it's just, if you want anything, I go, look, dude, even if I'm going to call insurance, what is that? They're going to walk over and just scrape it. I go, look, man, I really appreciate it. I honestly just wanted to call you to tell you, thank you for being a good human being. Yeah. You know, and he was like, well, you know, just have a great holidays, man. I'm like, oh, God, like, you're a cool dude, you know, thank you. And then got off the phone. But that is like
it's awesome.
My confidence in people is so low these days.
Oh, yeah.
That, like,
oh, yeah.
So when something like this happens, I'm like, oh, man, that's nice.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, anyways, that was kind of a fun thing. But, welcome to the Air 500 Armor Studio. Everybody, thank you to all of our patrons for participating in the show. Remember, our shows come from your ideas. So if you have ideas about what you want to hear about, then you got to freaking tell us, man.
For sure.
You know, you got to email us, info@trainingaz.com, or get on one of our social media platforms and hit us up. Today we're trying something new. Also, we're doing Instagram Live.
Yeah. Hey, for those of you that are in here, if you've got questions or whatever, post them up. We'll do our best to answer them.
Yeah, we'll hit them up. So now we've got Facebook Live going. We've got Instagram Live going. And we've got the recording going so people can listen on iTunes, Spotify, or Podbean anytime afterwards. So I mean, we're trying to reach out and hit multiple platforms here so that, you know, people can get at better access to us, right? So there you go, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, good shit. All right. Our product of the month this month is going to be the Invictus Plate Carrier. Now, the Invictus, for those of you guys on Facebook, James, you're going to have to model your ass over here. Oh, God, does your cord reach?
My cord reaches.
Can you get in front? Is your cord too short, James? Is that a problem you've had before?
Oh, hey.
All right, there he goes. Oh, my God, that's very sensual. You guys can't see what's happening off camera. All right, so this is the Invictus plate carrier. I actually own one of these, and I want to tell you guys a little bit about it and why I selected the Invictus. So I selected the Invictus because of how lightweight it is.
Oh, it's super lightweight carrier.
And when I take the Invictus and I throw in the light poly plates that they have here, holy shit. It is the lightest plate carrier combination I've ever put on.
Yep.
I really like the setup. I like the full Velcro top panel. I personally like carriers that don't have anything on them. I don't want built-in pouches. I don't want shit. I want a slick carrier. I know what I want.
Mm-hmm.
I know how I want to set up a carrier. Give me a slick Molly platform or PALS platform. What's the appropriate terminology here, John? PALS platform, okay, so that I can put on what I want. So, like, James, first thing you said is, what, no candy pouch up top? I went to Microbat Systems, got one of their candy pouches, put it right up top. Yeah. Perfect. Now I have what I want on there. Yeah. You know, same thing with, like, the mag carriers. I only want a couple mag carriers. I know what I want. Slick sides, if I want to put a med kit or side plates or anything else, I've got that. I really like the Invictus carrier, and I've run mine quite a bit, and I really dig it. So, you know, that's kind of our first week intro to this, is to say, this is something I actually use. Mm-hmm. I really do like the product. So there you go. Next week, we'll probably talk a little bit more about certain features of it and what they were going for when they created it. So there you go. All right, check out the Invictus carrier. And I'm sure they got all kinds of sales and stuff going on right now.
Oh, my God. The
freaking Christmas, black.
Inboxes blowing
Friday, up. Cyber Monday, small business Saturday. Don't spend any time with your family Sunday. All the different holiday sales that we have going on.
Yeah, that's about right.
That's about right.
Ignore your family.
So actually, Sunday.
Yeah, start shopping on Thursday. Fuck Thanksgiving. Start shopping on Thursday. Dude. Wait in line for insanely not good deals on Friday.
Yeah.
You want to know where the rest of us get those good deals year-round? It's called fucking Amazon.
Yeah. All yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's
right.
Called sales and making sure you get the right discounts and whatever. Anyways, I spent Black Friday at the Black Friday event.
I spent Black Friday at home sewing, trying to keep up with orders. That's what I did.
Well, dude, you missed all out on the Black Friday event. Maybe one of the best Black Friday events really? We've ever done.
Yeah.
Full force on force class, work in and around structures, in and around vehicles, multiple components, people all over the place, plenty of dick shooting, tons of UTM rounds. We fired hundreds of UTM rounds. People got lit up.
Nice.
It was amazing, right? We set up ambush scenarios on cops. We had some LE guys in there, so we were ambushing cops, setting them up in their vehicles, doing stoplight. Like, he's got a suspect in the back but doesn't know what to expect, sitting in a stoplight, straight up freaking vehicle, ambushed and made him fight his way out of it. All kinds of crazy stuff like that. Did some home defense scenarios, did some structural defense scenarios, did some go in and get the good guy type scenarios. Did carbine and handgun. Tons of fun, man. Tons of fun. UTM, I'm telling you, I've done tons of force-on-force stuff with all kinds of systems, from old-school Miles, right, all the way up to, you know, modern simunitions and UTMs. I've used airsoft, high-quality airsoft components, which sometimes we have to use based on the facilities we're in.
Yeah.
But UTM is the thing.
Yeah.
Is absolutely the thing. I'm just super happy with their reliability, their quality, their durability, their accuracy. The cost is the only thing that sucks.
And they allow for behavioral modifications.
Behavioral modifications. And let me tell you, when you watch a cop getting his dick shot by your girlfriend, I don't know what about that was more incredible. Watching one of my friends who's a cop get his dick obliterated by UTM, or the fact that my girlfriend was behind the trigger. And she ambushed him. That was the best part. He moved into a structure and thought he was all clear, and then tried to, like, hold down a point of domination in there and just got bushwhacked from the corner.
Literally
bushwhacked. Dude, it was such a great opportunity. It's always tons of learning opportunities there. There are lessons that cannot be taught on the square range.
No, absolutely not.
Get learned, sometimes time and time again. You know, one of our friends, I knew his level of training and experience. And I say friends just because they're friends, man. I hardly even think of the majority of our students as students anymore. If they've been through like one or two class, they're like a student. After that, they're like a buddy.
Right? Yeah.
Sooner or later, they just got to reach like friend status. But we train so much with people, man. I just love the people we train with. But I knew what his level of experience was, so we set up the structure. I'm like, I know he's going to scoot around the outside of the structure. No one else has done that. Instead of plunging in, he's going to go around the outside. So I'll set up an ambush for him. He just comes blazing around the corner. I had a guy waiting for him and just hammer him, you know. Then I'm like, all right, let's see if he's going to do it again. So we have a good debrief. And I'm like, okay, what did we learn? He's like, okay, I got to make sure I check my corners. On my experience, I get very goal-driven. I'm like, all right, cool. Did the same thing on him when we moved over to the vehicles. I'm like, stay right here. He's going to come blasting around this because he's going to want to put a car between, you know, the bad guy and him. You're just right here, just ambush him, you know. Same freaking thing again.
Jesus.
And then he contacted me about it yesterday, and he was like, hey, man, like, what do you think my problem is? He's like, why did I get ambushed literally twice the same freaking way in two different environments? So we were able to talk through the process and kind of what he's doing and how to practice that. And it's when we start to get students to that level of training, the introspection that they have is better than like a handgun class where people are like, yeah, I mean, I did pretty good. And then they go back to their job. Mm-hmm. People who have trained enough to this point to get to where they want to do force on force are typically thinking about this shit for days or weeks afterwards. Oh, yeah. I mean, I cannot recommend force on force enough. And I will tell you guys this. In 2020, we're going to be changing the modality a little bit of what we do. And one of the things we're definitely going to be doing more with independence training is we are going to be doing more force on force. Way more UTM than we've done in the past.
Nice.
We already do quite a bit. Definitely going to be doing more. 100%. Yeah. So something to consider when you're looking at our training programs.
Awesome.
Did a shotgun class the very next day. Practical shotgun, our annual shotgun class. Great time. Lots of shotgun rounds getting fired. Lots of lessons getting learned. I always love when someone shows up to the class. We had a guy who was like, oh, yeah, man, I used a shotgun a bunch in the military, yada, yada. And, I mean, first 20 minutes of class, he's like, you want to repeat that? You know, like,
what?
I've used a shotgun my whole life. I never even knew that this existed. Yeah. You know, I didn't know buckshot had different patterns. I didn't know you could mm-hmm. head shoot someone at, you know, 7 to 10 yards with buckshot. Like, if I'd have had a hostage-type situation or just a collateral damage-type mm-hmm. situation, he's like, there's not a chance in hell I would have taken a shot like that before this class. So just a lot of great lessons learned always.
Asymmetric Option said, too bad you're too scared to shoot with Cecil and I.
Oh, God. Here we go. Yeah. I wish I could have been there, dude. Maybe, yeah. Oh, you're a cop. Maybe you could, you know, contact a certain previous member of my life and tell him to get off my case about shit. That'd be great. Maybe you can sling some of that badge weight around for me.
Yeah, probably not.
Probably not.
Because he's a good cop. He's not a bad cop.
You know how fucking excited I was about that, by the way? All right? To go down and go shooting with two very good friends of mine.
Yeah.
And then got totally waylaid by some bullshit.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Story of my life these days. Stopped a bleed class yesterday for a church.
Nice.
Had a great time. 40 people.
And it didn't burn down when you walked in?
I wore a holy item of mine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it keeps me safe.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't tell you what it is.
Okay.
Because then it wouldn't be as holy.
Yeah.
No underwear, that's the secret.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so I'm good.
Balls out. Yeah. But no, it was a great opportunity to go in and teach the public. I'm telling you, man, more people need to take advantage of the free shit we do.
No kidding.
It blows my mind how fucking hard it is to get schools, churches, mm-hmm. and law enforcement agencies to take advantage of the free Stop the Bleed classes that we offer.
Mm-hmm.
We are like almost begging people sometimes to do it. I don't know what the problem is.
Please, let us come give you free information that might save your life.
Please learn how to save someone's life. Will you please learn how to be more prepared? Nah, dude, I got some shit to do at home. I got to watch my shows.
I got some shit to do.
Right?
Too much. I got to watch some sports ball stuff and things.
I'm like, dude, really? Anyway, for those of you guys who missed it, remember we do have a free Stop the Bleed class every second Saturday of the month. James and usually at least one other guy, sometimes it'll just be James, sometimes it'll be one other guy, will be at the Stop the Bleed classes teaching it. They're $1 if you sign up online. That really just kind of helps us pay for gauze and saves you a seat. If you just show up, it's literally totally free. You don't have to pay the dollar. So consider that. You know, second Saturday of every month at the Tactical Medic in Mesa from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. You can just show up. Appropriate for all ages.
Yeah.
Right? Bring your little kids. We have no problems at all teaching little ones.
I had my little kids at one of the very first ones we did.
Yeah. And when we've done kids' classes before, it's been pretty successful. I mean, 20, 30 kids typically, which is pretty impressive most of the time. So.
Yeah, I think we've seen them as low as, 12, something like that.
Oh, we've had them even younger than that, younger for sure. That. Oh, yeah, man. We've had, 6, 7-year-old kids in there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I think
for sure.
My son was like 5, 6.
Yeah. In that IFAT class, that little boy and that little girl that were there with their family, that little girl had to have been under 10 years old.
Oh, yeah, too, she was.
So, yeah.
Yeah, she was, for sure. I just realized, looking at Instagram Live, we have nothing over here. Mm-mm. We have like great artwork over here that our Facebook Live fans can see.
Yeah, we have this big blank.
We have the Predator Scream over here, and we have nothing. I have some more artwork at the...
Or drop a flag or something.
Yeah, I got some more artwork I'll bring in.
Yeah.
We'll stick it up there. So, I just noticed how blank it is. Sorry, Instagram folks. Next week I'll fix that giant hole in our decor. Oops. All right.
It happens.
It does. What else? Anything else? Any news items? I read about a Texas man, an old guy.
Who kidnapped and molested 79
people.
Dressed up as an alien.
As an alien, drugged them, and then anally probed them and convinced them it was an alien abduction. Can we just focus
sad,
on
sad, but kind of funny.
Can we just focus on the fact that there were 79 people?
Yeah. How do you like, do you just wake up one morning face down and there's this old guy sitting next to you smoking a cigarette? Like, hey, man, that was intense. You know?
I'll put all these items right here in your butt. But I'm an alien. And you were like, oh, I'm tripping on LSD or whatever. Yeah, this is crazy. Right. And then you, like, don't tell anybody about it. Like, if one of my buddies was like, dude, I have to tell you some crazy shit. I'm like, okay, what do you got? And he's like, dude, I got abducted and some alien put stuff in my butt. I'm like, this is probably just some old motherfucker dressed up as an alien. Just taking shit in your ass.
Probably, man. Just took you to the trailer park.
I don't know if you know this, but that shit ain't real. Yeah. Let's talk about real shit. Like old people who put things in people's butts. Yeah.
Asymmetrics, like, you've been to CG, you know things can happen.
Yeah. When I read Texas, I actually thought Casa Grande,
Florida.
No, yeah, Florida.
any of the states I grew up in, Virginia, North Carolina, like any of those, it would have been way less surprising.
So many possibilities.
Like Texas, it was mildly surprising, but not a lot. You know, I was like, oh, Texas. Oh, okay. Florida, I would have been like, what? Duh.
Yeah. I would have been more surprised if it didn't happen.
Oh, the stabbing
in London.
Dude, with the fucking
Norwell tusk. Rips it off the wall and is just like, you shall not pass. And just starts poking that dude with a Norwell tusk.
Yes. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, we the people.
Yes, that was very good.
I totally forgot about that.
Oh, yeah.
It took me a while because I started seeing the Norwell tusk
good
memes.
Old, good old safe London.
And I'm like, what the fuck is this all about? And then I finally saw the video, the dude with a fire extinguisher.
Yeah.
Posing him down. And the other dude's standing there jabbing at him with a narwhal tusk.
Improvise, dude. Improvise. Now, here's the interesting thing, okay? They call it a terrorist attack, right? But here's the issue. It was a 23 and 25-year-old man and woman who got killed.
Okay.
Both were involved with the same network of academics and criminal justice organizations at an event where the attack began. So it's like, I'm not...
Still technically an act of terrorism by the strictest definition of the law, however, seems pretty targeted.
And it was the guy's name, the attacker's name is Bob Jones. Yeah, he's a white... middle-aged... Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. His name is Usman Khan. Oh, what a fucking surprise that was. Yeah, way out of left
I
field.
I was like, wow.
Way out of left field. I couldn't believe that.
Bob Jones.
Oh, my gosh. That never happens.
You had me going on the Bob Jones.
Oh, my gosh. Really look, did. He's this dark-skinned guy with a big, bushy black beard. Oh, my God. Oh, it's like, this never happened.
Seen that coming.
It's like Europe has completely gone to
shit. Sorry, Bob Jones.
Yeah, we're gonna get contacted by some dude named Bob Jones.
He's gonna be like, "Hey, man, quit defaming me, you sons of bitches."
Yeah.
He's like, "I didn't do that.
I didn't get stabbed by any Norwell tusks this weekend."
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a
dude. That would have been such a better story had they just like impaled that fucking dude on that tusk.
Right.
Just like straight out of 300, just. Yeah.
You shall not blow me up.
Yeah. You shall not be a stabby dude anymore. Yeah.
So there is a very important Supreme Court situation going on right now. Thanks to Brent for bringing that to my attention. I read about it and kind of slipped my mind today.
There's a couple going on.
Yeah, there's one specifically about gun control stuff. So, you know, all Democratic presidential contenders have freaking gun policy like at the top of their list, right? As usual, you know, they're all focusing on things that happened 6, 7, 8 years ago. Well, back in 2012, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
About 1 in 2 Americans live in states that have enacted significant new gun laws since 2012. Even though a lot of these people are saying, oh, nothing has changed since these massive events. Bullshit. 50% of America lives in states that have enacted significant new gun laws since the, you know, 2012 Connecticut shooting.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, bullshit, man. So yeah, there's some crazy shit going on. We'll see. I mean, possibly what they're meeting about could maybe undo local gun laws if they reach a certain verdict that is on a national, federal level.
Yep.
It's coming, man.
Something will fundamentally change within the next 5 to 7 years in the gun world. One way or the other, there is going to be a fundamental change.
And Trump is not our friend on this.
Not at all.
He historically has not been. And now the proof is in the pudding. What he has done since he's been elected has not been friendly towards firearms. You know, you got the bump stock thing. You got his comments about suppressors. His comments about to the left about when they blew their freaking minds over that stuff. And he was like, oh, great, now no one's going to listen to gun reform stuff. And he was like, wait, back up. Say that again, but slower. You know?
Yeah.
Like, so you're considering this? I guess we'll have to defend ourselves with narwhal tusks. Whatever.
It works, apparently.
All right, Redwire, gear moment, go.
So this is a topic that I was reminded of this weekend. It's also a topic that I've addressed many times. Wear and or carry appropriate footwear with you at all times. Flip-flops are for public showers, pools, and beaches. All right? You don't wear flip-flops to go out and do things. You wear flip-flops around your campsite at night.
I wear flip-flops to go out and do things sometimes. Yeah.
Stop. But there's a pair of boots in your truck, too, aren't there?
There is always.
Exactly. So sandals and flip-flops are not the same thing. Appropriate hiking style sandals are fine. They're not my preferred method of
like footwear. My Chacos.
Yeah, a pair of Chacos or a nice pair of Tevas, or, you know, something designed to actually stay on your foot if you have to move and or climb things and overcome obstacles. So there you go. Wear and carry appropriate footwear at all times.
All right. Redwire moment brought to you by RedwireGear.com. And I think you got a number of sales going on, by the way.
So
yeah, Cyber Monday going on.
Cyber Monday's going on. It's the code is CM19. It's 25% off until midnight tonight. And then if you follow me on Instagram, there's a bunch of flash sales that were posted over the weekend that I'm going to repost, and those are all going to be an additional 5% off the prices on there. So we're talking like some of that stuff's like 35, almost 40% off.
Something I have to mention about Redwire gear stuff real quick, because I do find it important. Is obviously John has been a part of the arms room from the beginning. He's been a part of independence training since almost the beginning. And when he branched off to start his own company, we obviously are going to support a friend in the business, right? Yeah. We're obviously going to do that. We're obviously going to use his products. But I literally use Redwire gear products every single day, personally and professionally. Mm-hmm. And it's not because John is my friend. I have other friends in the industry that I support, and I'm happy to increase their business as much as I can, but I'm not necessarily using their products every single day. But I mean, the stuff that John makes is really good stuff. The things that have come out of his brain are really good. He's got really good equipment, right? So if you guys haven't looked into his gear, I really would. I mean, you consider like my daily wallet. How long have I had this wallet? Since you made them. So long that the tag is worn off, right? You can't even read the tag. I've had this wallet since John started making them. Carry with me every single day.
I think that's your second one.
It's my second one because I wanted the ID thing on the front. Yeah. But my other one now carries my business cards. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it's like ear pro wraps, med kits, chest rigs, my dog leash, all my slings. Because the shit works. I mean, that's why we use it. If his sling wasn't great, I wouldn't use it. I'd be like, oh, cool, thanks, man. Also, by the way, another important thing to add, too, is I buy a lot of stuff from John, too. Like,
yeah.
It's not like John just giving us all this free shit, all right? Yeah, we've helped him prototype some stuff, so of course we're going to get some, you know, free gear out of that. We get that from a lot of companies, right, that we work with. But, like, we buy stuff from the companies that we support, too. Same thing with AR-500 Armor or Vortex or We Plead the Second, or any other of the many, many companies that we support and do business with. Yeah, Precision 3D Targets or LRK Mechanical. We buy their shit.
Yeah.
Every now and then, sure, they give us some stuff because we work with them professionally.
Or there's a little bit of extra that comes with an order.
Yeah, or we might get a little discount, or John might say, hey, man, I want you to try this out for me, or I made this, and it's a one-off or something, you know, here, have it, you know, thanks for supporting me. Those are the kind of things that happen in all industries.
Yeah.
But we pay for the shit we use. And so that's an important thing to mention to people, you know what I mean? Because we are also, just like you, putting our hard-earned money down on these products. So when we endorse them, we endorse them because we've spent the money just like we're, you know, recommending you do. I think it's important because these days, even more and more with influencers and all that shit, everyone's got an affiliate code. We don't use any affiliate codes. Mm-mm. If we have a discount code for our companies, it's because you're going to go over there and you're going to get a discount. And that's all that's going to happen. We do not get a kickback on that.
No.
I don't think that's honest. In my own opinion, I don't think it's honest.
Unless you can do that because I know there's a few companies that do that. There's a few apparel brands out there that do it. And it kind of makes sense as long as the people that are throwing you that code are clear about it up front.
If they're clear about it up front and they've actually legitimately utilized
the
products extensively instead of like, here's a company that goes, oh, hey, you've got X number of followers. We'd like to send you a free X. Will you please push it out? Here's your code and you'll get, you know, 10, 20%, whatever kickback on the other side. Please push our product. And then it's always the influencer, like super brand obvious, like cutting something and being like, when I use my X knife or when I'm wearing my X ear pro, I can hear everything. Like, sounds like a fucking commercial, dude.
That's because that's what it is.
You know what
it's
I mean?
Commercial,
and I don't dig
sure.
it.
Yeah.
I'm getting tired of that kind of advertising. I'm getting really tired of people leaning on either follower counts or resumes.
Yeah. And that's a big reason that
my time is XYZ unit. I learned the importance of good ear pro. That's why I choose XYZ ear pro. And you're like, while everything you said is a valid statement, you didn't use that shit when you were doing that work. So now tell me, why do you choose it when you're doing the work you do now? Yeah. Which is what? Whatever it is fine, but give me a practical reason. Don't say back when I was, because most of the ear pro that I use was big bulky shit that we could plug microphones into it and talk to people
or
belt fed weapons.
Or it was really crappy rubber shit that you shoved in your ear that doesn't work anyway.
Yeah, or the stuff that you never, and then they fall out and you're like, fuck that!
I gotta keep going!
Yeah, I needed to keep, oh, where's my little orange earplug? No, not happening. Yeah, I like when they have the earplug thing now where it's the green and yellow earplugs. Dude, I'm old school orange earplugs, the flange earplugs. You remember those?
No. Well, yeah, I do.
Remember them, right?
Yeah. When I went through boot camp, it was yellow foamies.
Yellow foamies.
That was
better.
Fresh pair. At the beginning of grass week, and you had better still have them at the end of range week, two Fridays later, and you've used them every day.
Yeah.
And they're super nasty.
Nasty.
You're like...
We used to just use cigarette butts by that time.
Yeah.
They got too gross. I was just sticking butts in my ear.
It happens.
That's why we're all deaf.
Yeah, sorry,
right?
What?
All right. So on to our actual topic for the day, now that we've gone off topic several times. Everyday carry gear and pressure testing gear. How do you pressure test everyday gear? And what kind of things should you look for in pressure testing gear? Now, as a gear manufacturer, John, if you give me a product to test, like we were just talking about.
Yeah.
John, obviously over the years, as a friend and associate, has given me a variety of different things to test. Slings, to bags, to pouches, to med kits, whatever. Some things ended up in production, some things didn't.
Ended up in a fucking garbage
can. Yeah, some things I still have, and someone's like, John made this? Will he make me one? And I'm like, yeah, probably not.
Okay. Nope, probably
that's
not.
That's a one-off. That all being said, as a gear manufacturer, what do you want an end user to pressure test? Because I know, like, you've sent stuff to people, hey, please write an article about this in your magazine, and then they're like, I like this sling. This sling real good. This sling whole rifle on body, good. And you're like,
okay. Detachable.
Thanks.
Reattachable.
So, yeah, you can detach and reattach this sling. Good.
So there's a guy, so I actually just sent, I'm actually waiting for the product to be sent back to me.
Mm-hmm.
I just sent a med kit out to a guy who's, he's in the Army, went through airborne school. Like, he's just a dude. He's just a fucking soldier, right?
Yeah.
Nobody special.
Just a soldier.
But he's also a competitive shooter that's sponsored by another group that I follow.
Okay.
And I was like, hey, man. I hit him up. I was like, hey, if I send you something out, can you test it for me? And he's like, are you sure? And I'm like, what? He's like, yeah. He's like, it's really weird. He's like, this doesn't happen. I'm like, no, dude. I was like, I follow you. I see the information you're putting out. I want your opinions on this, you know? So I sent him the product. So, hey, keep it for a month, use it, play with it, let me know what you think. Send me some feedback. That's it. And then at the end, if you want to buy it, I'll sell it to you at dealer price. If not, just ship it back to me.
Yeah.
So the month went by, and I was talking to him on Instagram, and he gave me some really good feedback. And what I want, that's what I'm looking for, is actually take the product out and use it. Wear it, carry it, put it on your rifle, go take some training classes, take it when you go hunting, like, just actually use it. Don't just do the stupid unboxing video.
Yeah.
You know, if I tell you, hey, this product, like rifle slings, this product is great because it does X, Y, and Z, take it out and see if it does X, Y, and Z for you. And if it does, but you don't like the way it does it, tell me what's wrong. And the guy gave me some great feedback, some stuff that I'm actually going to implement into the designs moving into 2020. There's a minor change that I'm going to make to the Mark 82 based on this guy's feedback, because it was a great idea and I never really thought about it. So I want people to take stuff and use it. You know, I don't care how you use it, just actually use it and give me good quality feedback. Because I've sent the Mark 82 out to other guys, got some great feedback, and he was like, hey man, it's a great kit, it's a great design, it's just not for me because it doesn't hold all of the stuff I want it to hold. I said, cool, thanks man, no worries. You know, so if a company gives you gear, or if you have gear, you go out and you buy these things, actually use them for what they're intended for, right? Belts is a great example, right? In my opinion, belts are a great example. I've been running Wilderness belts for a decade now. Right, used the original instructor belt, worked great. Went to the frequent flyer belt because I liked it, and it still worked great. And then their new low profile EDC belt, dude. As soon as I saw them, I was like, I'm going to buy that. My wife looked at me, she's like, why? She's like, you have like 6 belts. I don't have this belt, and I know it works. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I know. I heard in the aftermath, I talked to people.
Yeah,
but I use it, I wear it, it holds my gun. And I know that if it's from that company, it's going to do what they told me it's going to do.
So one of the things that I've discovered being involved in the industry for a while and using different gear and being asked to test, we get asked to test a lot of gear and get good feedback from even some bigger companies. And one of the things that we consistently hear when we send feedback back to whoever is they're always like, wow. Thank you for all the feedback.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I won't be like, this gun shot real good. I loaded ammo. It was good. I fired the gun. It worked good. It hit the target real good.
I shot 50 rounds through gun. Yeah. It worked great.
Can I keep this good? And it's like, instead of that, I go, here was the successes that I had with it, and here's the failure points that I had with it, and here's all the ammo I used through this firearm, and here's the accuracy I had with it, here's the distances and the conditions that I shot in. I used it, you know, I ran it dry, I tried it with this type of lube, I tried it with that type of lube, I tried it with 10 different types of magazines, I messed around with some of the components inside and tried this and tried that, I did realistic field tests on it, like, you know, I took the rifle, loaded it, safety off, and slammed the stock on the ground to see if it would fire, obviously in a safe environment, right? Yeah. I tried to see if I could get it to slam fire.
Or some type of malfunction.
I got into different positions with it. I worked through a couple different barricades with it. The handguard is too big for this, or I didn't like the way this attached, or this didn't function for me, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, then we send that information back. Sometimes we give them some videos and some photos as proof. And companies are like, holy shit, man.
Yeah, because they're used to getting that, oh, this good.
It good. Me good. This good. We're good. You know? And it's like, that's all that they ever get. Or like, I like this rifle. I put 30 rounds in it and it fired flawlessly. Here's an unboxing video. You know, like, that's what most people are used to getting in their freaking reviews. And I can't tell you, man, over the years, to me, I still feel... I've been doing this for a long time.
It's still weird when people give you free stuff.
I still feel like privileged to be part of the industry.
Yeah.
You know, a couple weeks ago, Drew and I were asked to do a big marketing and photo shoot thing for a very big firearms manufacturer.
Yeah.
And so we went, we did it, and we made some videos and had some photos and things like that. And that's not the first time I've done that kind of stuff. But like, as they're talking to us about it, I'm like... feel privileged to be involved in this because this is my job. Like, this is an industry and it felt cool to be asked my opinion. It would be like if you're a office person and Swingline comes to you and is like, we want your specific input on the Swingline stapler. You know what I mean? Something happened there. If you're a framer, right? And Stanley comes to you and is like, Stanley, we want your specific
East
input.
Wing or somebody.
Yeah, like exactly. That. Like, yeah, S-Wing comes to you and is like, we want your specific input on this hammer. You know, like, you're like, wow, like, thanks for asking me. You know what I mean? Like, that's, I do use it. You're right. And I'm privileged to that you're asking me. We don't get egotistical about it, but it is fucking cool, man.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's one of those things where we take it very seriously. Like, it's a big responsibility for us to pressure test gear, because I know that what I say holds enough water with people that I've seen products, big products from big companies, change because of the feedback that we and similar people like us gave to them. You know, I have some feedback actually after the show. I have to email to Streamlight about their new, shotgun forend that both me and another instructor experienced the exact same problem. And so, like, there's some feedback we're going to send back. I know, based on our experience with Streamlight in the past, that some changes are going to be made to this product, because I know also we're not the only ones experiencing it.
Yeah.
So it's like, and they know that we hold enough weight, so to speak, that they're going to listen to what we have to say. That's a big responsibility for me, you know? And I take it seriously. A lot of guys don't. They're like, oh, well, of course you're going to send me free shit. I was in Special Forces, so you should send me free shit. And then I'll try it. I'll take some photos with it. Yeah, man, this gun good. Runs real good. This sling good. Holds on body. You know what I mean? And then that's what they're going to fucking send.
Oh, I love the new meathead voice.
And then you're just like,
holds on body.
Dude, good. But tell me about the function. So when it comes to pressure testing gear, like, I'm about practical application.
Yeah, you have to use the gear as it's intended, right? Like, that's the simplest way to explain this. You can't pressure test something by looking at it or...
Well, the first thing I do when someone says, hey, man, we want you to try this new optic, is I freeze it in a block of ice, right? The next thing I do is
set it on fire?
No, I throw it off a building, right? At least minimum two stories.
Yeah.
Because I want to drop test it. Because regularly, I drop my fucking gun off a two-story building. Happens all the goddamn time, all right? I'm constantly freezing my shit in the ice. Next, I light it on fire. I like to hit it with a torch. I'm not talking that pussy-ass little butane torch either. Yeah. I like to get basically a flamethrower, all right? One of those propane torches. I like to just heat blast it, right? And then if it's a gun, I like to do a 10,000-round barrel test on it, right? Like the military does. Because if it ain't good enough for the military, by God, it's not good enough for me. So I like to put 10,000 consecutive rounds through the barrel just to see afterward. Oh, no. I mean back to back.
In a day.
I want to light this shit on fucking fire. I want to destroy all the rifling. I want to prove that I am superior to this firearm by destroying it, all right? Then what I like to do is shoot it. That's the next important thing. After I've lit it with a fucking torch and I've shot it with 10,000 rounds, I like to go ahead and just actually shoot the gun with a gun. Or I like to shoot my optic with a gun.
You have to put it in a smelter.
I want to melt this bitch down, all right? Yeah. I want to see what his Newton weight is, all right? You know what I mean? I want to know,
if it doesn't hold up to a blast furnace, it's not worth having.
I mean, why would I even want it, you know?
Yeah.
Then I like to ship it to a foreign country in its natural form, and I want them to reassemble it for me, right? I like to send it, like, Vietnam, sometimes Somalia if I want to get real fucking crazy, right? Then I'll send it over to China. I'll have them proof it, right? Then I want to make sure that it's put together as horribly as possible, then bring it on back, and then and only then is it good enough for me to write a review that says, this good, real good.
This real good.
That's the way I pressure test my shit.
I just use it. That's
that and only that.
I use it.
That's
I go
ridiculous,
to the,
John.
When it comes to my guns or like...
Who wants a video of John just wearing a belt?
Or just using a gun.
Or just using it. Just using a firearm.
You didn't throw it at anybody? I'm not
interested.
It's
like James is in all these videos with AR 500 armor now. Stupid. He's not even getting shot in the
armor. I know, right?
You know what I mean?
Right? So bonk.
Glenn and I have both. And it's been a long time since I've done it. I don't know when the last time you did this was.
Yeah.
But Glenn and I have both thrown rifles in front of students in classes.
Really?
Yeah, because they were. I don't even remember how the discussion happened, but both of us unload, clear. Yep.
Whoo! Like by the barrel, chucked him down the range like 50 yards.
That was mostly to prove a point.
Yeah, there was some point that we were trying to prove.
Because we had these students. It was those Texas students.
Is that what it was?
And they wouldn't get their guns dirty. They would get their guns dirty. Right, yeah. They were so scared. They were so fragile. But they had really. Really, like night force ops and all this. And we freaking threw our rifles just to prove a point.
That's right.
That's why they didn't want to. Because that $2,500 rifle they had mounted, or $2,500 optic they had mounted on their rifle.
So, I mean, yeah, that's it's kind of a ridiculous example, but yes. The point is this, like, I want to know. When I pressure test my gear, I want to know, does it stand up to the daily use? So I just got a message from one of our other instructors, Chris, and he said, I pressure tested my new holster at C2 Tactical during a couple pistol comps and tested a new Weepleat holster for the FNX at our low light course, with us. I think pressure testing gear is the best way to discover and ensure proper performance and make adjustments to it based on actual conditions as opposed to what seems good sitting at a table. That's a really great way to say it as well. It's like John said, hey, just practical use. That's another good way to say it. You know, I mean, there's sometimes kind of silly stuff that we do. We did a video with Wilderness Tactical one time where I'm like, this belt are so damn tough, I bet you could tow a truck with it.
Oh, yeah.
So we went to the range and we had Sam, one of the gals from Wilderness, get in her truck and I got in my truck.
You guys put two belts together,
and we put two belts together because that way it would be long enough. Two belts together, hooked it on her hitch, hooked it on mine. Had her put her truck in drive just to see if I could tow around, because neutral's too easy, right?
Yeah.
Put it in drive and then, or no, reverse, I mean, and then I just freaking towed her all over the place.
Yeah.
Then I had her put it in drive and put a little gas on it so she'd give me some resistance, and then I freaking pulled her around that too. Like, just pulled her all over, even with a little bit of resistance. The point wasn't that my truck is stronger than hers. The point is
that the belts were
were perfectly fine afterwards.
Which was perfect for their motto, which is overkill never fails. And by God, it didn't. Yeah.
Now, just as a joke, we hooked one of John's slings up that way.
Did not work.
Fucking destroyed it, right?
Yeah. The only warranty, the only sling warranty claim I have ever had. So, for those of you out there, you cannot tow your truck with a Redwire Gear convertible sling. Yet.
Yes.
As soon as I find the appropriate company to make me the appropriate metal hardware, we're going to try it again.
Yeah, just fucking plastic hardware. Just exploded.
And now, it's good quality hardware. It's not built for pulling trucks.
That's not what the thing is designed for, right? Like, a Wilderness Tactical belt is literally designed to take a dynamic fall while climbing, using it as an emergency rescue harness. Like, this is a very serious piece of equipment.
Yeah.
John's sling is designed for carrying your gun around or securing it in one way, shape, or form to your body, to a piece of equipment, whatever. If I take a dynamic fall and the sling catches on something, quite honestly, I hope it fucking breaks.
Yep.
All right? Because the last thing I want to do is get strangled by my gun. All right? So I don't want it to hold up against insane amounts of pressure.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. If I'm snagged on something that is pulling me with the force of a pickup truck, I hope the sling fucking breaks so it doesn't snap my back in half.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, and also that's not what the sling was designed for.
No.
So quick question.
Somebody
was asking if either of us have ever used any of Ride-On's optics. I know I personally have not.
Yes. Yes, I have.
Okay.
And I have some very good associates in the business who are using them as well.
Yeah.
Arizona company, which is great. I've used some of their optics. I think their optics are good. They're a good choice.
Yeah. I was just curious.
If you want more info, send a direct message later to the Arms Room Show or hit Glenn up.
I will say that I haven't abused them very heavily.
Right.
But I know some guys who have. So if you shoot us over an email, I'll get you in touch with the right people.
Yeah.
info@trainingaz.com. And I'm happy to let you know more about my experience and other people's experiences with them.
Tony's a good dude.
That was asking questions, I'm saying?
No.
Oh, the guy who makes them.
Well, he's their one of their reps.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's fine. They're fine.
And he's involved with the...
They're fine products. I'll give you more input on kind of my concept on that if you shoot us over an email or message us or whatever. But yeah, pressure testing is about more using it every day. Like, I've discovered failure points in belts, holsters, all kinds of things just by regular, average, everyday use. I found failure points in John's gear by regular, average, everyday use that you might not find if you just look at the gear, take it to the range a few times, take some photos in it, run around in it a couple times. You're like, yeah, it's good to go. Like, I pressure test holsters differently than other people do. I take my holster to anytime I have a new holster, which has been a while because I've had the same holster for a while, but anytime I get a new holster, I go to the park with my kids.
Yeah.
And I go play in the jungle gyms. Like, I've got a daughter who's a gymnast. She loves to hang upside down by her legs and flip around and do all that. That's what I do because I want to know if my gun's going to stay in this holster.
Yep.
I wrestle around with the kids on the bed, on the floor, whatever. You know what I mean? I want to know if my gun's going to stay in the holster. It has to stay in the holster. So I'm not going to take my holster and beat it up and try to flamethrow it or
freeze it. I'm not going to run over it with a truck.
Yeah. It doesn't need to do that. If it gets run over by a truck while it's attached to my body, my pelvis is fucking crushed.
Yeah.
So regardless of what happened to my holster,
I'm really glad that holster held up. My pelvis is hosed.
But I do want to make sure that my gun stays in the holster.
It holds your gun in the same place.
And that the clips don't come off.
Yeah.
So, you know, I take it and rattle it around and move the clips and move the loops. And if they're loose, you know, I thread lock them.
We've had companies that did not send their stuff out with thread locker or pre-thread locked that we gave them that exact feedback because we lost holster clips.
Yeah.
That company started including a little packet of thread locker with their holsters and mag carriers.
So pressure testing gear really is more about that practical application of stuff. And it doesn't really matter what it is. I mean, if you're trying to test something, track how it's getting used.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'll give you guys an example. We have a Psionics Patrol Rifle Zero, which is an AR-15 from Psionics Weapon Systems out of Tucson.
5 or 6 years now?
We've had it for a while. We've got about 50,000 rounds through it. The last time we actually tested, I think, was about 40,000.
Yeah. I haven't seen that rifle in a minute.
It is gross.
Oh, yeah, I bet
so it is. So we've never cleaned the gun. We got it for... I'm sorry. Actually, I'll take that back. We did clean the gun initially in the first, like, 500 rounds to 1,000 rounds. We cleaned the gun a couple of times because we wanted to make sure that we were properly pressure testing it in the beginning.
Yeah.
Then all we do now is lube it about every 1,000 rounds. We pull the bolt carrier group out. We give it a quick wipe. We re-lube it, and we drop it back on. It's so gross, I won't open it without gloves on. That's how nasty it is. And we're doing it not to prove that your gun can go 50,000 rounds without being properly cleaned. We're doing it to try to break parts for Psionics. Like, we had our trigger fail at about 25,000 rounds.
Mm-hmm.
That was not a Psionics trigger. It was good for them to know that because they were in the process of creating their own enhanced trigger to replace an aftermarket or third-party trigger that they were using, and that gave them more feedback and more justification that they need to be able to do it because they want their triggers to last longer than that.
Yep.
Right? And the failure point that it had was not a good failure point.
Right.
So we're pressure testing that piece of equipment more to continue to be able to give them good solid feedback. And also, at this point, kind of out of my own curiosity,
just to see how far this is going to go.
Completely go tits up.
Yeah.
You know? But we've had that thing so hot at shooting events, like when we used to do the veterans action matches, that we actually had to bust out a guy had a welder's glove in his truck. And we had to put a welder's glove on shooters because the forum was getting so hot that no one could hold it.
Yep.
And we were talking like 2,000 rounds as fast as people
could hold it. Over the course of like 2 or 3 hours?
Barely that.
Yeah.
Yeah, more like an hour and a half. Yeah, I mean, it was insane. You know, so just crazy, crazy amounts of ammunition. And yet the gun keeps running. Nice. And it hasn't had any problems. So I think that's, you know, for us, that's a big part of pressure testing is, can I practically give a reason on why I'm doing this to this piece of gear?
Yeah, is there a legit reason that I'm putting it in an ice block?
If I'm putting a scope on a hunting rifle or a competition rifle, I mount the scope, I zero it, then I drop it on the scope. I want the full weight of the rifle behind that scope from chest height.
Yeah.
I drop it on the scope.
Yeah, because that's real.
Then I check everything. Did anything snap? Did anything break? Do I need to reconfirm zero? Right? did it affect the capability? Did it knock a reticle loose? I've seen that kind of stuff happen on optics.
Oh, wow.
You know, like, why would that be a problem?
Seen because crosshairs go from T's to X's.
Yes. Seen that more than one time. So it's like, I want to know that because if I'm out hunting or competing and I drop my rifle, I want to know, oh, shit, like, I have to be able to go reconfirm this, or there's a 9 out of 10 chance this is going to be good to go.
Yeah.
You know, like, if there's a knob that breaks on it, I need to contact the manufacturer. Hey, just so you know, I dropped this thing one time on the knob and the turret broke off.
Yep.
Or I dropped this thing one time and this happened. That's a problem. So that's kind of the stuff that I'm looking for. Is like, I look at a piece of equipment, I'm going to pressure test it and go, what am I going to need to do with this piece of equipment? How do you pressure test a belt? Well, okay, does it hold up my pants? Well, that's a pretty fucking good belt.
You wear it.
But now I wear it and I say, does the buckle get in the way?
Yep.
Does it hold my gear in place? Do things slide around on it? Is it comfortable? Does it enable me to hold my gear in such a way that it helps me to conceal? Or is it too floppy and things kind of bow out or move around? You know, that's how I'm going to pressure test a belt. I'm not going to light it on fire. Is it flame retardant? I'm not.
I doubt
it. So it doesn't really matter if my belt is. I don't give a shit if my belt is flame retardant.
Yeah.
I'm not flame retardant. Mm-mm. So I don't give a shit if my belt is flame retardant.
Just true story. Just retardant, but not the
flame. I am retardant. Just retarded. I mean,
read.
But the point is, like, think about how you're going to practically apply the gear. And that goes for when you're looking at people testing gear.
Oh, God, yeah.
What is their practical application? Because if I'm going to go to a dude who's actively serving with, you know, 75th Rangers, how he's going to want to pressure test gear is going to be different than how I'm going to want to pressure test gear.
Mm-hmm.
He should know more about how it operates in extreme environments, cold and hot. He should know more about if it's a thing with a battery, how does that battery, how long does it last? How well does it last in cold weather? How well does it last in hot weather? Mm-hmm. Can it be submerged? Right?
How long can it be submerged?
How long can it be submerged? Those are all the kinds of things that a dude in the 75th Ranger Regiment should probably fucking know if he's going to be testing equipment, right?
Mm-hmm.
But for me, not as much of a big deal. If I submerge my shit, I'm just going to pull it out of wherever the fuck it was submerged at, dry it all off, pull the battery out, replace it, make sure the battery compartment's dry, and go on with my life.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool if it can be submerged for a long time, but it's not worth it to me to care. Most of my shit can probably be submerged for a long time. I'm probably never going to use that feature. It's not important to my application of the gear. So be really careful about how you watch that.
That's the other thing is the application that people don't think about, which we've talked about I don't know how many times, is your gear has to be applicable to your life and what you're doing with it.
Well, here's another good point by a listener. Important aspect on holsters is the quality of Kydex. After sitting in your car in the Phoenix summer, does the mold form of holster change due to heat? We've seen that with shitty quality holsters. They'll melt, literally just melt almost back into a freaking sheet of Kydex, basically, and totally lose their form if they're exposed to direct heat, or especially if they get exposed to direct UV. So it's like, okay, I might have to take my holster off and leave it in the car if I'm going into a courthouse or a secured area of some kind. Now I come back out and my holster's freaking melt the pile of shit.
It's all like floppy doppy.
You know, like, well, that's a problem.
Yep.
So
that's an issue, right?
That's
an issue right now.
So, like, that's a way to pressure test it. Not can I leave my holster on the dash, that's gonna destroy it.
Yeah.
But can I leave my holster in the car in the heat for a few hours when it's 110, 115 outside and God knows 200 something in the car, and is it going to melt the shit out of it? Or when I climb back in, is my holster still going to work?
Yep.
Quality of Kydex has a big, big thing to do with that. So again, what are the failure points that you can kind of anticipate about your gear? What are the things you think might happen? Well, how are you going to be using it? And then how do you need to apply it? If I'm a goose hunter, frozen blocks of ice, cold water, water submersion, those are all important things to me. I don't goose hunt.
No.
I upland bird hunt.
Yep.
So dropping my whatever piece of gear in the water is a moot point. So anyway, if you guys have some other ideas about pressure testing equipment or gear and you want to know more about how we might do it, or if you have your own ideas and you want to share them with us, or you've pressure tested a piece of gear in a certain type of manner and found it to be a really successful way to test that type of gear for that situation, then let us know and we'll talk about it on the show next week. Our email, as always, info@trainingaz.com. You can message us on Facebook or Instagram. If you guys like the Instagram Live thing, let us know so we know if we want to continue to do it or not.
That will only run for 1 hour.
1 hour?
1 hour, and it cuts you off.
It's been 59 minutes.
Well, I started that before that.
It at an hour.
You got it right in an hour? Okay, yeah. Well, there you go. It's just at an hour. Okay, well, now we know. Now we know. Knowing's half the battle. All right, guys. Next week, we are going to be talking about selecting long-range optics and weaponizing math. It's a topic that we get a lot of questions about, a lot, as both Independence Training and the Arms Room. I get a lot of requests for shows.
I'm just going to sit here and take notes.
We
get a lot of that. So we're going to be talking about that next week. Maybe we'll bring someone else in to help me out. Remember, you can bring us out to train with you. Get info for hosting our classes, info@trainingaz.com. Make sure you follow us on Facebook and Instagram as the Arms Room Show, Independence Training, and the Red Wire Gear. We're proud members of the Heroes Media Group. Make sure you check out the other shows on their network. There's a ton of them.
Yeah.
Until next time, stay aware, stay safe, and train hard. You've been listening to The Arms Room.